Blog Talk Radio.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you,
I'll bring you more than a song.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. I bring to you more than a song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. The day that you save me, oh, what a glorious day it is, Lord God, and I thank you. And so I'm reaching out to my brothers and sisters all over the world. What are we bringing to the Lord? The song says more than a song. If we're honest, we could only bring our thanks to the Lord. There's nothing that we could give him. There's nothing we could replace what he has done already. And I thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. and your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio this Thursday evening on our Bible study. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we have brothers and sisters in the Middle East. I'm not sure if they're awake now, but the Voice of Israel will be joining Blog Talk Radio shortly. I gave them over the instructions, and hopefully they'll be able to present program via Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank the Lord for everything that he has done, how he has preserved us, how he has kept us, how he has saved us, how he has prepared us for that day. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So this is The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, your host on Blog Talk Radio. You could call the station at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that, and then you press number 1, and you'll be connected to the studio. You could give your testimony, questions, or comments of what we're going to be speaking about today, or any topic that you have at hand. Even if we have to stop what we're doing, we would do that to seek for the right answer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the international internet radio program hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me give you a little disclaimer. The songs that we play on Blog Talk Radio, they don't belong to Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. They don't belong to the church, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle. They don't belong to the Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. However, because we bought the CDs or the DVDs, we have permission in them to use their product. Glory. And this song today, More Than Enough. I bring a song to you, Lord, More Than Enough. It's a song that's appropriate for today's subtopic. We've been studying, is Christianity real? And remember, there are about 42 different type of religions out there in the world, but there's only one empty tomb. Glory be, hallelujah. And today I was watching on a program, and they was talking about how the gentleman who's an archaeologist was able to get underneath in the tunnels area in Jerusalem there, and they found what they believe is where the blood of Jesus dripped down through the cracks of the rocks down. And they analyzed that blood. They took it to the best DNA researchers, and they analyzed that blood. And that blood was about 2,000 years old, they say. It was dry blood that they got it, and they put it into a jar. They took it to this research center. And what they found was this. First of all, the blood is AB positive. Second of all, the blood, after 72 hours of moving slowly, the blood is alive. What they found was odd, my brothers and sisters. When you and I are born, we carry 46 chromosomes. 23 chromosomes of the father, 23 chromosomes of our mother. However, when they researched that blood, that Jesus Christ stripped down off the cross, they only found 22 chromosomes, and the one chromosome Y. Now remember, the Y is what dictates the sex of the child is going to be. Now we know that according to history and according to the Bible, Mary had no relationship with no man. So the chromosome, the Y chromosome, came from God himself through faith when Mary accepted and believed on what the word of the angel was, glory, and that word took on human flesh and it grew in her uterus there as a child. And when the child was born, we know the angel told Joseph and Mary, you shall name him Jesus. So he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what Yeshua means, salvation. So they found that this blood only contained 23 chromosomes. 22 chromosomes of the mom, one chromosome of his heavenly father. It's odd because a human being has 46 chromosomes, 23 chromosomes from his mother, 23 chromosomes from the father, and the father dictates through the Y chromosome whether it's going to be a female or a male. If it's a double X chromosomes, then the mother will have a female, but if it's a XY or YY, they will have a son. And that's the way God made it to be. Hallelujah. So we see that even in the blood of Christ, even 2,000 years later, like Jesus said, the rocks are speaking unto us. Even 2,000 years later, the blood of Jesus speaks to us. Just like when Cain slew Abel, God said in his word in Genesis that the voice of Abel's blood was speaking to him from the ground. Glory be to the Lord. So today, you know, we're going to continue our study. Is Christianity real? We could search throughout all the religions of the world and search the sepulchres where the leaders are. And what they found is that there's bones there. However, when they come to the sepulcher of Jesus, is empty. And I've been there to the one that they believe that is the right sepulcher. I've been there in the year 2016. My wife and I took a trip to Israel, and we went into the sepulcher there by the garden. And the sepulcher was empty. And there was some signs on the wall that said, Jesus Christ the King, glory. Although it was in Greek, but we could understand Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, we have a call before we begin. So we're going to see who's that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Nathan in Orlando. I was wondering if you can give me where I can find this information on this blood, 23 chromosomes that you just were talking about. Is there any place I can go online to find it?
You could go to Tic Tac, and there's a brother there who's an archaeologist. And he's talking about it there. That's where I picked it up from. He's a famous archaeologist. Supposedly, he found also the Noah's Ark, and he went underneath the Golgotha into the cave systems there, and that's where they believe the blood dripped down into the caves area.
Okay, so now is this just Tic Tac? What? Just TicTac.com or what?
Yeah, so you get it on your phone. You have to download the application. You open it up and you could go to the search area and search for the blood of Jesus. I believe the archaeologist's last name is, I believe the archaeologist's last name is White, W-H-Y-T-E.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, though.
Okay, I got enough to find it. That is amazing, ain't it?
It's totally amazing because after 2,000 years, and they did this special DNA, they found that the blood is still alive and only has 23 chromosomes. Glory be to the Lord.
Yes, and that is information that would probably create some critics, but it can create people that are convinced, you know,
yes.
That are convinced that this, you know, it's like the, and I've looked into the Noah's Ark, and, you know, the Pentagon was the one that found that. I think it was over World War II. They were flying, a plane was flying, and they looked down and saw it and took pictures and sent it back. And that's where we first, and, you know, that was the beginning. And then other people started learning about it and going there to check it out. And
that's right.
You know what? Just history will tell us a lot, and Jesus Christ can't be denied. I thank you for that. I'm gonna hang up and keep listening, but I'm gonna
all
look
right.
into this. Thank you.
Well, if when you go over and look over the Noah's Ark, look for the archaeologist. I think his name is White, but I'm not sure. He's got a beard. He's the one that found the Noah's Ark and the blood.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Okay.
And
your
that.
Name, sir? Your name, so
Nathan,
keep going on
Nathan in Orlando.
Nathan?
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay, Nathan. God bless you. The Lord be with you.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Praise the Lord. We had Nathan on the line, and he was asking about the blood. There's nothing like the blood. And the subtopic for today is power in the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to take us through certain scriptures, and I want you to write the scriptures down and look them over and see what the Holy Spirit reveals to you. Because Brother Pastor Ramos could read to you the scriptures, and I could give you what the Spirit has given unto me, but it's nothing like you receiving a revelation from the Holy Spirit. That is called the Rhema word. So we could read the Logos word now as we go through the different passages, but you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation of Rhema word. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to begin with prayer before we start the program. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed it unto us, Father God. And we pray that the voice as it goes out, Father God, that it will settle into the heart of your people and that your people will cry unto you for mercy, for compassion, and for forgiveness, oh Father God. So they too could have that experience in their heart, oh Father God. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We glorify you. We know that you are still working in and through us and through your Holy Spirit, reaching out to people. Because your word says, unless the Holy Spirit draws them, no one could be saved. So, Father God, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would draw your people by your word and confirm it, Father God, and let them realize that this is true. That there are many religions out there, 4,200, but there's only one empty tomb. Glory be to the Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for Brother Nathan who called from Orlando. And we just pray, oh, Father God, that he continues to search. And he's being obedient to what Jesus said. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are the one that speak of me. So we are continuing to search, Brother Nathan and I and everybody at the hearing of our voice and throughout the whole world. We are searching, Father God, because we want to be like you. Father God, we just don't want head knowledge, but we want experimental experience in our hearts, in our souls. So when we speak to others, they too could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and respond, Father God, before it's too late. We thank you, Father God. Have your way. Let everything that is said and done be pleasing unto you, Father God. And if we have offended you in any way, Father God, we ask for forgiveness. We ask for cleansing with the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Once again, this is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. and your host, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can call the station at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign and the number one. And when you press that, you'll be connected to the station. I will see a raised hand, and I know that you want to speak. And you could have your question, comments, or testimonies regarding anything. We will stop the program, and we will look for the correct answer, the way that God wants it answered, not the way I dictated or anyone else, but the way God dictated in his word. Hallelujah. So we are looking, is Christianity real? Time in our life, brothers and sisters, where we have to make a choice. A choice that will change the course of our life one way or another. And in Bible class, when they asked me what was my concern, what was my desire, I share with my brothers and sisters that my desire, my concern is that people, when they come across information that is valid, that they'll make a decision that will impact their life. And we know there's a lot of people out there against Christianity, against the Word of God. But one problem that people have, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. Not one jot, not one tittle will pass from the word until all is fulfilled. So we thank the Lord. And we here at Blog at The Way, the Truth and Life Tabernacle believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And it's a very simple question. When I got married with my wife, and all those men who got married to their wife, and all those wives that got married to their husband, think about it. The night that you got married or the day that you got married, was there a punishment issue from the husband to the wife? I never punished my wife. I never had an issue with my wife. I love my wife. I give my all in all for her. So how we would expect Jesus Christ to treat his wife as well? He will protect her. He will give her all the gifts that is due. We see an example when Eliezer went to get a wife for Jacob, when he went to get a wife for Isaac. He took 9 camels of gifts to them. Those 9 camels are a type of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we cling on to that knowing that our Redeemer, our husband, will one day call us home to be with him forever and ever. Jesus said in the Gospel of John 14:1-6, he says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I will return and receive you unto myself, so where I am, you may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if you look at a Jewish wedding, you see that the young man is preparing a room in his father's house for the wedding. And when their wedding is completed, they consummate the wedding. They go into this room that he had prepared. But the only reason he's able to do that is because he went back and got his wife. And when you read the Gospel of John chapter 14 and you read those first few verses, it's talking about a wedding. When Jesus says, I'll come back and receive you unto myself, that's called a Jewish idiom for marriage. We're going to marry Jesus. We're going to go to the Bema seat. We're going to have the seder meal, and we're going to have the marriage. And nowhere is the church in the Word of God goes through the tribulation that is going to come upon the children of disobedience. What people read about the tribulation and the times of the Antichrist in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, it was spoken to the Jewish people. The church was not even around yet. The church came to being at Pentecost. So those words were spoken to the Jewish nation, what they were going to go through for disobeying, for being idolaters, for worshiping other gods. Hallelujah. And let me get back to the subject before we get too far away from it. We're talking about the blood, the power in the blood. Hallelujah. Let's look at some of the scriptures, why we're talking about the blood. It's very important. We know the Jewish people, and we must follow what the Word of God says. We know in the book of Leviticus, which is part of the Torah, it's the middle book, God designated seven feasts. It's called the Feast of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you come to September in that area, September, October, you come up to three, what they call winter feasts. We have three spring, one summer. We have Passover, we have unleavened bread, and we have first fruits. Then 50 days later, we have Pentecost. Then in the fall, we have the Day of Trumpets, or what they celebrate, Hanukkah, the New Year. Then you got Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And you have Tabernacles, when God is going to be with us. Hallelujah. So right now we're talking about the power in the blood. That is talking about Yom Kippur. And where do we get that from? Well, we're going to come across a verse that's in the Leviticus, and we're going to see what the scriptures talks about. I'm sorry, did I say the Leviticus? Exodus, and then we'll go to Leviticus. But power in the blood. Now, remember that word power in the blood. In the Greek, hallelujah. In the Greek, it could be exousios power or dynamite power. That's from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost hath come upon you. And that's going to be one of our subjects talking about witnessing. But we're talking about power in the blood. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because if you remember correctly and you read Genesis, you're going to come across where mankind, the earth, and the elements was cursed because of sin. God cursed man. Man was supposed to work out of the sweat of his brow. He would his bread. Woman would have pain in her conception, in her delivery. And the serpent was cursed and cursed to the ground to eat dust the rest of his life. And the earth was cursed. It was not producing what God wanted to produce. It began producing thorns and thistles, which is a type of sin, which is a type of the cross. Let's go on to man. Let's travel a little bit here to Isaiah chapter 59. And we're talking about Isaiah the prophet, one of the major prophets. The reason he's called major prophet is because he wrote a lot. You have minor prophets, which wrote less. It doesn't mean one is greater than the other. It just means the amount that they wrote. And here in chapter 59 of Isaiah, God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to each and one of us. This is our state prior to salvation. It says in verse 1, behold. And when you know, when you read that word, behold, it should grab your attention. When God says, behold, something important is about to be said, and we need to pay attention to what it's saying, because God would not expel his strength on nonsense. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be victorious in Christ Jesus. So he begins the verse by saying, behold. You know, these days, or maybe I'm dating myself, but sometimes you hear the commercial to say, when E.J. Hudson speaks, the world listens. Well, here, behold, God is getting our attention. He wants us to listen. He wants us to pay attention. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue had murmured perversion. None calleth for justice, not any pleaded for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Brothers and sisters, that's our state. That's the way we are, war, and some are still that way without Christ. We our hands are full of blood, and our hearts are full of iniquity. When you read Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, we were dead in our sins. You and I could trace our ancestors through our mother and father. We were born once in the flesh. However, when Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ, Jesus told him, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus was a rabbi. He was not only a rabbi, but he was a teacher of rabbis. He had a school there. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. He was a very prominent man. And he said to Jesus, do I go back into my mother's womb? It's impossible, you know? And Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is saying, listen. And when Nicodemus listened, they heard the wind. They heard the spirit. And Jesus asked them, what do you hear? He says, I hear the wind. Where is the wind coming from? I don't know. Where is it going? I don't know. So he says, that's what being born again is. Born again of the Spirit of God. We was born once in our flesh, but we need to be born of the Spirit of God, because in the Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When he was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. So our flesh comes from Adam and Eve. Our ancestors come from them. And if you remember, Adam was made from the ground. And Eve was created from his rib, from his side. But that ground was cursed. So if you take a bath right now, and I could tell you this, working for EMS, New York City EMS, for 23 and a half years, one thing that I learned as an EMT and as a paramedic is that the top layer of our skin is death. That's why when you take a bath, there is dirt. You could come back hours later, take another bath, there is dirt. Why? Because the top layer of our skin is dead and is representative of what occurred in the Garden of Eden when God cursed the ground and God cursed Adam and Eve because of their disobedience. They were innocent, but when they got deceived by the serpent, they lost their innocence. And so because Adam sinned, it passed down to us. Oh, yeah? Some people might say, oh, yeah, Brother Ramos? Where do you find that? Well, we find it in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death pass upon all men, for that all have sinned. You and I, we were born in iniquity, shaped in iniquity. God knew us then, but something was amiss. Our mother and our fathers, they were sinful people. And that sin passed down to us because we took on an Adamic nature. We took on the flesh. And every organ of our body is surrounded by or made up of skin. Every organ of our body. The biggest organ of our body is the skin. And it passed down to us because of Adam and Eve. You know, but the Word of God begins to tell us things that we should understand. And we're going to go to 1 and 7. We understand that we're dead in our sins. We understand we took on our Adamic nature. And because Adam disobeyed God, it passed down to us because we took on the Adamic nature. But let's look at what God says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. Not some sin, not confess sins, all sin. When we confess our sin to God, he is righteous and faithful to forgive us. So let's read it. It's right there, right? A couple of verses down in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to understand, yes, we know that that scripture is written to the born-again Christian because it's found in the New Testament way back when in 1 John, you know, but we apply it to everybody. If you give your heart to the Lord, if you ask for forgiveness, if you reject your sinful nature and you ask God to cleanse you, well, he will cleanse you. And I'm going to show you that he will cleanse you. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Follow along with me and verse 23. And we're going to see what the verse says there. Hallelujah. It says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he see the blood, hallelujah, when he see the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and would not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. When he see the blood. And that's why when we pray, brothers and sisters, and we ask God for forgiveness, we ask him to have mercy upon us, to apply the precious blood of the Lamb to us. Because just like the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, when they were captives in Egypt, they offered up a sacrifice. They were celebrating the Passover. They killed the Passover and they ate it overnight. But before they did all that, before they ate it, they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. That is the top of the door and the sides. And when God saw the blood, hallelujah, when he saw the blood upon the lintel and the side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. The Lord, God will not bring judgment to you. His judgment was placed upon Jesus Christ on that cross off Calvary. Jesus Christ took upon him our punishment. We deserve to be punished for the sin that we committed. Our hands was full of blood. Our heart was full of sin, as Isaiah says. But we pray that God places his blood upon us to cleanse us, to wash us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. We don't want to commit sin. We don't want to be adulterous. We don't want to chase after other gods. We don't want to be like the Egyptians' time where they worship many gods. You know, God brought Jesus Christ to us, to the nation of Israel. Salvation was of the Jews first. But because the Jewish people were blinded by the enemy, it opened the door for us Gentiles who knew not the Lord to be saved, to ask for forgiveness, to be cleansed, to be washed, to be accepted in the Beloved. And that's what God did in Christ Jesus. And that's why when Christ was on the cross, when he said it was finished, the veil was rent in two from top to bottom. That which separated us from the nation of Israel was taken out the way. No longer did we have to obey certain commandments that would bond us. God did not bring no bondage. When we read Isaiah 61, Jesus said, "The Spirit of God is upon me to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to set at liberty those that are bound." And that was you and I, my brothers and sisters. We was bound. We was a slave to sin and Satan. But God redeemed us through the precious blood of the Lamb. Just as that lamb's blood was put on the doorposts and the lintels, and God passed over the houses of Israel in Egypt, and he did not allow the death angel to come and destroy them. God did likewise to us. When we ask for forgiveness and accept Christ as the Lord and Savior, God places the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, on the doorposts and the lintels of our heart. And death is taken away, because from the moment that we're born, we was carrying a death sentence. But in Christ Jesus, that's why, you know, that verse is so famous, and everybody should know it. John, the Gospel of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So you see, my brothers, at one time we was perishing, but now we have eternal life. We have everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to read up about this Feast of the Blood of Atonement. It starts at verse 5. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." So we see that we have a holy convocation. We have the blowing of the trumpets, and somehow they turn that day into a New Year's Day. But if you read the scriptures carefully, God said that Nisan 14 was the day of the new year. He says that month will be the first month of the new year. But here we have the Holy Convocation of Trumpets in September, and they call it Hanukkah, the new year. Then it goes on to say in verse 27, verse 26. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, and on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whosoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that day, he shall be cut off from among the people. So let's take a quick look at that. The soul that is not afflicted on that day. So the moment when people reject Jesus Christ, they have to give God an answer for everything that they have done, for every work and every word that they have said. They don't afflict themselves with that. They believe, the Jewish people, the Israelites believe that in the Day of Atonement, those days that they have before tabernacles, they confess their sins one to another. They confess their sins to those whom they think that they violated during the year. And they believe in the atonement of the blood. It is the blood that brings the atonement. The blood of the animal brings the atonement. And whosoever, we'll go on to verse 30th. And whosoever soul it be that doeth any work in the same day, same soul will I destroy from among his people. Well, it says if you do any kind of work. Well, you know, he tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the work that God is speaking about. He's not talking about the physical work. He's talking about the work that is done to try to cleanse oneself from sin. But it's not going to work. There's nothing that we could do. There's nothing that we could say that will take away the sin that we have committed before God. 31. You shall do no man of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening unto evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Hallelujah. So we see God calling for the people to enter a rest and not be entangled with sin. God don't want us entangled with sin. He wants us to be free. We read that in the scriptures. Let us go over to Romans chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 15 and verse 23. And verse 15, it says, 16, it says, know you not. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servant you are in whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, our works and everything that we do is for righteousness' sake. In verse 18, it says, be then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. So we promote ourselves, and we are ambassadors, according to Corinthians, ambassadors of this gospel that we have. We are no longer servants of sin or Satan. We don't obey the taxes of the enemy. We know the taxes of the enemy. We see how he's coming through. And when he comes through, he's not going to be able to overtake us, because the precious blood of the Lamb washes us and cleanses us from all iniquity. In verse 23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So whether we have sin and sin brings forth death, or we have eternal life, it's up to us, my brothers and sisters, how we want to deal, with our condition. We know that we have done wrong. Nobody has to tell you that you have done wrong. From an early age, you know the difference between right and wrong. And you might get away from the natural man. You might get away from other people, but you're not going to get away from God. Because everything that we say, everything that we do, is recorded in the books of heaven. And if you don't believe me that there's books in heaven, then you need to read your scriptures a little bit closely. It talks about there the books of heaven. There's many books. Let's go on to this rest now. God said that we should enter into our rest. We don't work, but have wages. They work for sin, because of sin, and their wages is death. But our works is of righteousness. Holiness and righteousness is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us, working in and through us, holiness and righteousness. Remember, Jesus Christ is coming for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. So there can be an area in our lives where we have damaged goods. We can be damaged goods. God offered up his son so that we may have life, eternal life. And one day we're going to stand before God and give an account for everything. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3 and let's read the first 10 verses and expound as the Spirit gives us. Chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who had built the house had more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Take heed, brethren, verse 12, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And verse 18, and to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the words were finished from the foundations of the world, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on the wise, and God did not rest the seventh day because from all his works. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not because of unbelief. Again, he limited it a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as I said, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. But he that enter into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So my brothers and sisters, those of you that are out there, if you still have unbelief in what Christ have done, I urge you, knowing the terror of God, I urge you to be reconciled unto him, because the time is coming short. The time is at hand when he's going to call his people home. One thing that I learned in natural, if you look all around the world, before a nation gets into war, they always call home their ambassadors. And Christ is going to blow the trumpet, shout, and with the voice of the archangel, he's going to call his people home. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, forever to be with the Lord. So the rapture of the church, the pre-tribulation rapture, would occur in the air. What you read in Matthew 24, Jesus is coming to the Mount of Olivets, so he's going to put his feet there. So there's one rapture and there's a second coming. So we want to thank the Lord for that. Please come out of unbelief. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The word of God says, and he that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ is the answer to all your problems. There's power in the blood. If you allow God to apply the blood, he will pass over you and give you liberty, give you freedom, so the death angel won't take your life. Hallelujah. We'll be back on Sunday at 6 p.m. for Bible Mystery, Tuesday at 3 a.m. for Intercessory Prayer. Next Thursday at 6 p.m., we're going to be speaking about the power in the Holy Spirit. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.